I indeed need your prayers this evening. There's a topic at hand that I need to discuss with you that's not necessarily an easy one nor a pleasant one for me. We recently went through our annual conference, and there a document was presented to the body that was given the voice of the people that it's to go to the church. And I see it as my responsibility to do that exact thing with it. And at the same time, tell you of an experience that I had that was directly associated with it. If you were someone who was not at conference, it was a revelation that was given and presented to the conference, and it reads, I'm going to read the part that's in bold to you to begin with, and then there's a reference that I will read following that. It says, I call men into the ministry that use the grape juice. I bless them with my Holy Spirit. I prosper them. I bless them. I protect them. I call men into the 12 that use the grape juice. I bless them with my Holy Spirit. I prosper them. I bless them. And I protect them. I call men into the ministry that use the wine. I bless them with my Holy Spirit. I prosper them. I bless them. I protect them. I call men into the 12 that use the wine. I bless them with my Holy Spirit. I prosper them. I bless them. I protect them. After that was presented to us, there was also a scripture that was read. And it's 3 Nephi 5:29-31. And there shall be no disputations among you as there hath hitherto been, neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine as there hath hitherto been. For verily, verily I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention, and he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine. It stirreth up the hearts of men with anger against one another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. Following that being read to us, and a copy of it in our hands, we knelt in prayer. Fortunately, well, at least I hope it fortunately, my voice is better tonight than it was that day. And I did not pray audibly because, quite frankly, I didn't have much of a voice. But I knelt there in the pew and I asked God to help me understand. And I'm going to give you a phrase right now that some of you are going to think is almost sarcastic, and I don't mean it that way. But it was a feeling that I had within me at that moment. And so I asked God, I said, why do I feel like this is like sweet potatoes? It's healthy. It's good. But it makes me want to gag. I see some of you chuckling already. You must have the same feeling about sweet potatoes as I know they're good for me, but I can hardly stand them. And I knelt there patiently waiting. And I resisted the temptation a couple times to pick this piece of paper up and turn it over and read the scripture again. And finally I did. And I read it. And I couldn't understand why I still had this feeling. I did not take my books in that morning because, like I said, I didn't have hardly any voice at all, and I was determined I was going to stay silent. But as happens sometimes, we don't get to do what we want. And I was urged to go back and find a Book of Mormon and read what's said here. And as I looked up out there at the East Local, in every pew where the songbooks are at, there's also a Book of Mormon. And I took that Book of Mormon that looked rather new and not used an awfully lot, or at least if it's being used, it's used very carefully, and turned to that reference. And I felt led to back up and see what that scripture was encouched within. And as I did so, I was a bit astounded. I'm going to begin with the 18th verse because it's the beginning of the paragraph. And it says, and it came to pass, this is the 5th chapter of 3rd Nephi. I'll begin with the 18th verse. And it's a rather long reading. I was astonished at how long this paragraph is. We'll go through the 65th verse. And it came to pass that I spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among, he spake unto Nephi, for Nephi was among the multitude. And he commanded him that he should come forth. And Nephi arose and went forth and bowed himself before the Lord and did kiss his feet. And the Lord commanded him that he should rise. And he arose and stood before him. And the Lord said unto him, I give unto you power that ye shall baptize this people when I am again ascended into heaven. And again the Lord called others and said unto them likewise, and he gave unto them power to baptize. And he said unto them, on this wise shall you baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you. Verily I say unto you that whoso repenteth of his sins through your words and desires to be baptized in my name, on this wise shall you baptize him. Behold, you should go down and stand in the water, and in my name shall you baptize him. And now behold, these are the words which ye shall say, calling them by name, saying, having authority, giving me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then shall ye immerse them in water and come forth again out of the water. And after this manner shall ye baptize in my name. For behold, verily I say unto you that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. And according as I have commanded you, thus shall you baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you, as there hath hitherto been. Neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there hath hitherto been. For verily, verily I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me. It is of the devil, which is the father of contention, and he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. Behold, this is not my doctrine to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against the other, but this is my doctrine that such things should be done away. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine, and this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father, and whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me. For the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again, I say unto you, you must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or you can in no wise receive these things. And again, I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation. And the gates of hell standeth open to receive such, when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Therefore, go forth unto this people, and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto Nephi and to those which had been called, now the number of them which had been called and received power to and authority to baptize were 12. And behold, he stretched forth his hand unto the multitude and cried unto them, saying, Blessed are ye if ye shall give heed unto the words of these 12 which I have chosen from among you to minister unto you and to be your servants. And unto them I have given power that they may baptize you with water. And after that ye are baptized of water. Behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall believe in me and be baptized after that ye have seen me and know that I am. And again, more blessed are they which shall believe in your words, because that ye shall testify that ye have seen me, and that you know that I am. Yea, blessed are they which shall believe in your words, and come down into the depths of humility, and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and shall receive a remission of their sins. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verily, verily I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Verily, verily I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, one jot or one title hath not passed away from the law, but in me it hath been fulfilled. If you're like me, and I'm not an English major, it seemed like there was more than one subject there. But it is all tied together. And the reigning thought that is there is concerning baptism. Also, our Heavenly Father did not give us the latitude of choosing how we were to baptize or even who we would baptize. He gave us the criteria. He said, how you will do it, you will call them by name. You'll go down in the water and say the words that he has given us in this prayer, and then you'll immerse them and come up out of the water. He didn't alter. He was very specific. The type of person that we're to baptize. If you'll allow me to paraphrase him, a person with the proper attitude, humility. A person whose actions show that they have a changed heart. They're willing to serve God. A person whose actions represent that, you know that they're doing it. They're a person who has turned away from all wickedness. They abhor it. They are a person who has made that decision, I will serve Jesus Christ. I have to admit to you that at that point I was stunned. I didn't know what to think. You know, you don't, as the saying goes, want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But I recognized that the scripture that I was reading here, at least in my mind, had not been applied as intended. And so I asked again, my Heavenly Father, I said, well, if this is as sweet potatoes, and it makes me want to gag because I know it does not have the proper presentation, what's good about it? Perhaps I could restate that and say, what is good for my soul that's there? Well, again, I do not have instant recall of where things are written. But a scripture was placed into my mind. And that Book of Mormon was right there in my lap still. And so, or actually I should say it was in the pew because I was not sitting down. I was kneeling. I found this written in the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. Once again, I'm going to read quite a bit. At the time, I only read a few verses, but I don't want to take anything out of context, and so, once again, I'm going to read a lengthy paragraph. We'll start with the very first verse. And now, behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according to the Spirit, as the Spirit hath constrained me, wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass. And this is Nephi talking and explaining things that he knows about, because God has shown him. And the things which shall be written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of man, especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. Instantly, you know, he's speaking of this book. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, behold, I am the Lord's. And the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall everyone say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another. And their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear our precepts. Behold, there is no God today, for the Lord hath the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto the men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not, for this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. Yea, and there shall be any which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin, yea, lie a little. Take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die, and if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark. And the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupted because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines. Their churches have become corrupted and their churches are lifted up because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. They persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Don't get your hopes up yet. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, woe. Woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is no worth. What do they say of the Book of Mormon? They say it's no worth. It's worthless. It was a concoction of a man that didn't have an eighth grade education. And yet you and I know that it contains the Word of God. I wished I could stand here and say to you that all of these things that he spoke of here that are preached by the world, and indeed they are, were all out there, that none of them have seeped within. But I can't say that, because the 17th verse says that in many, nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err, because they're taught by the precepts of men. It is necessary for us to be so careful to know exactly what God's word says and not listen to that voice that's out there. Because that voice that is out there would dearly love to be in here. Not to partake of the Spirit of God, but to destroy it. Let me continue on. For the day shall come that the Lord God shall speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. Behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. And it's written. But that is not my concern. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. Or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others, he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith to them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. They are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works. From thence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all they that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon a rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. I finally begin to understand why this was given. And it brings me no great joy to describe it this way. But I begin to understand once again why this sweet potato that's good for the body was making me gag. And it is because we have not done as we've been instructed to by the scriptures, and I'll read those things before this night's over. We have not done as is recorded in 3 Nephi in the 12th chapter. I'm going to read 14 to 35. It came to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again shewed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I shall give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day, and whosoever taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name? For if the church be called in the name of, called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called the name of man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then is it my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel? Verily I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel, therefore ye shall call whatsoever things ye do, call in my name. Therefore, if ye call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father shew forth his works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire from whence there is no return. Perhaps I read enough. We have an example here of how to find an answer. Yes, the Lord chided them just a little bit. He said, have they not read the scriptures? As I gave these things to the men there, I started to sit down. And yet I knew that I hadn't finished my responsibility. And I asked God what it was. The admonishment was not that this wasn't of him so much, because these things, you can observe them. You see that God works with his ministry, every last one of them, without exception. His instruction was, go back to your local. If you aren't from a local, go back to the people that you minister to. Teach them what humility is. Instill within them the desire to want to look into the scriptures and find out what they say. Let's turn to Mosiah for a moment. And I'll show you what happens if we don't. Page 282. I'm only going to read a few verses. I'll start with 105. Now it came to pass that there were many of the rising generation. This was during the reign of King Mosiah, who followed King Benjamin. And each one of you know the proclamation that King Benjamin gave to his people, and how he was able to instill within them that desire to want to be a child of God. And now it came to pass that there were many of the rising generation that could not understand the words of King Benjamin, being little children at the time he spake unto his people. And they did not believe the traditions of their fathers. They did not believe what had been said concerning the resurrection of the dead. Neither did they believe concerning the coming of Christ. And they were a separate people as to their faith, and remained so even after, and even in their carnal and sinful state, for they would not call upon the Lord their God. And now in the reign of Mosiah, they were not half so numerous as the people of God, but because of the dissensions among the brethren, they became more numerous. For it came to pass that they did deceive many with their flattering words, which were in the church, and did cause them to commit many sins. One generation is all it took for dissension to begin. I don't have the recipe, and I don't know how to instill a love of the scriptures in our children. And that distresses me. Because in them, they can find the answer to every problem that they might have in life. Within them are the commandments of our Heavenly Father. Within them is the way to receive eternal life. When Christ was here upon the earth, and after his resurrection, he gave a commandment to his 12. I would give you the page number, but it would be wrong perhaps in your Bible. It's found in Matthew, the 28th chapter. I will read all of Jesus' words, starting with the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If he's all power, I best listen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This was God's commandment through his Son Jesus Christ to us. Teach these things. Make it come alive in their heart. No, we can't beat it into them with a club. But make it come alive. Make it real. Let's go back to 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. Perhaps some of you were very quick upon your feet and noticed that I read a portion of what's often called the Sermon on the Mount. And he gives there, as I said before, those things that must be a part of our life. The things that make us unique, that make the light come on for others to see. As I remember, I stopped with the 65th verse. So I'll begin with the 66th. Behold, I give unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me, and be ye saved. I find it interesting that he reminded them that the law of Moses was fulfilled. Put it behind you. Take upon you my commandments. For verily I say unto you that except you shall keep my commandments which I have commanded you at this time, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how to draw them a picture of how beautiful heaven will undoubtedly be. I remember the night that our brother Nicholas Denham stood and told us, I saw heaven. Can't describe it. But it was beautiful. And somehow I believed it. But he has said, for verily I say unto you that except you keep my commandments which I have commanded you at this time, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven, a place that's beautiful. Ye have heard that hath been said by them of old time, and it is also written before you, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. We haven't fallen away from that one yet, entirely. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. I can't even say, oh, how silly of you, without being in danger of losing my soul. Therefore, if you shall come unto me, or should desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. You say, well, how do you know that's true? Some of these things you learn by experience, and I know that's true. I recall a time when I became very angry. I recall I didn't have any excuse for it also, except maybe my pride was hurt just a little bit. And if I've got pride, there lies a problem already, and I should have stopped right there, but I didn't. And I said things that were hurtful. And you know, I could feel that my prayers weren't rising above the ceiling. And it was not until I went and did what it says here that my God began to hear again. Do you know how hard it is to find all the people that have heard what you might have said? Or that perhaps even by accident, what you have said was repeated to them, and so now they have a feeling towards you? We have to be so careful how we say things. English can get us in a great deal of trouble. Particularly with the way we sometimes have twisted the language. Just give you one example here. It wasn't so many years ago that if I was feeling quite happy and enjoying the day, I might say that I was feeling very gay. But when I say that today, instantly, what kind of a message does that take to you? Yeah, I see the eyebrows raise. It's not a very pleasant thought, is it? And so I have to be careful, very careful what I say, lest I offend. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time he shall get thee, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost senine. And while you're in prison, can you pay even one senine? Verily, verily I say unto you, nay. Behold, it is written by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Behold, I give unto you a commandment, that you suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that you should deny yourselves of these things wherein ye would take up your cross than that ye should be cast into hell. There is a place, and I did not go look it up, and I should have because I didn't think of it till just now, that tells us that that we are to believe his word, if nothing else, because of fear. Fear of eternal damnation. The last part I've added. I wished I knew where it was, but I don't. It hath been written that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verily, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whoso shall marry her who is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, it is written, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But verily, verily I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. He can sure make mine white. But let your communications be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever cometh of more than these is evil. Keep it simple. Be concise. Behold, it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall not resist evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn unto him the other also. It's my observation that confrontations that might cause you a tooth or an eye are the result of you retaliating in some way for some indiscretion of theirs. Let it go. Today we'd say, let it slide. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Who knows, but within that second mile, you might teach him a little bit of the word of God. Give to him that asketh thee, and to him that would borrow thee, turn thou not away. Behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Therefore, those things which were of old time, which were under the law in me, are all fulfilled. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that ye should be perfect, even as I, or your Father which is in heaven, is perfect. Verily, verily I say that I would that ye should do alms unto the poor. But take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have your reward. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when ye shall do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, that they may have glory of me. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt do as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And I can testify to that. It doesn't take a lot of words. Why does it feel like sweet potatoes that I'm about to gag on? Another time, when I just said, don't let it happen. Not audibly. There wasn't time for it. And God knew what was in my heart. And he stopped that automobile and that truck before my family was destroyed. I know he hears. I know he knows our needs before we ask. He is in control. He gives us a sample prayer here, and I'll pass it by because I know you know it virtually by heart. But remember how simple it is. And he hears it. He does give us instruction in the 107th verse. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He tells you how to... how to fast. Nobody knows. Nobody knows except you and God that in your heart you're fasting for the answer that you need or desire. And he ends by saying, lay up your treasures in heaven, not in earth. Our vision in our life must be very narrow. I don't want to call it nearsighted, because the goal is way out there. It's past where you and I can see. It's called eternal life. But all these things that are going on beside you and out here in your peripheral vision, you got to narrow them out and not look at them, and look at your Savior and follow Him. Let's turn to Moroni in the 7th chapter briefly. Page 767. Allow me to paraphrase it. He tells you that if we want eternal life, he called it life eternal, we must have faith, hope. And he asks you, how can you have faith unless you have hope? And what is it that you hope for? You're hoping for eternal life. There's one more element that he says you have to have there. It's called charity. And he gives you the definition for it. That this person that's willing to be meek, willing to be submissive, is willing to suffer long, is kind, that has no envy, that's not puffed up. Their concerns are not about the physical things that they perhaps have been given. They don't seek their own. They don't allow their minds to think in channels that are evil. They find no humor in iniquity. That the thing that gives them the greatest joy on this earth is the truth. I'm turning to Ecclesiastes in the very 12th chapter. A book that perhaps some think was written by someone who was a wannabe That's good that I forget so quickly. Solomon. There are others that feel he wrote it. It doesn't matter to me. I find his words to have the truth within them. He says this, and starting with the 13th verse, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the whole issue of life. This is the conclusion to it. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." This is what matters in life. The issues that we haggle over, the concepts that we many times quarrel over like little children, ought to be handled just as the 12 did back there in 3rd Nephi. Taking it to our Heavenly Father. And it's not just our ministry taking it to them. It requires all of us to be willing to accept the answer. And the reason that it requires all of us to be willing to receive the answer is that God loves his children. And he does not desire to destroy a single one of us. He is being patient with you and I. I pray that we will turn to him, seek his face. That requires humility. That requires the ability to be able to say, "I don't have the answers. I'm willing to be taught. Teach me your ways, dear Lord." God bless each one.